Chris and Kira.
I'd rather put my nipples in a pencil shop.
Sunday to Thursday from 10
on 2FM. FM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's Omi with Cheerleader here on 2FM. Right. Evening, everybody. What's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name is Kira.
Hello.
Yeah. Big thanks to Louise, of course, as well, for last round. It's a big round of applause. Right now that all those radio formalities are out of the way, let's get down to business. Busy show tonight, actually. There's a lot of stuff going on. God, I don't know how we're going to get it all done.
But
we'll
will.
We'll do our best.
No, we will. Chris, we always get it done.
Do you think 3 hours is enough to get it all done in? Do we really have that much going on that we couldn't get it done in 3 hours? Probably not.
I'm going to predict that we'll get it done, Chris.
Yeah, we just might. You never know. You never know. Well, friend of the show, Emma Power, is going to be in just a minute playing the fake celebrity news quiz, where she gives us 4 celebrity news stories. One of them is fake, and it'll be up to Kira and I to try and guess which one is the fake story. I also believe Kira has done some calculations and some tallies on exactly the current win for this year. So
I have statistics right here.
Yeah, well, we'll get to those in a minute. It has how many times I've won, how many times Kira's won, and how many times Emma's won. And I wonder whether or not it's even possible for Kira and I to win anymore.
Chris, I just don't know.
All right, well, look, you can reveal that in a minute. Maybe we might as well cancel the fake celebrity news quiz for 2015. Maybe it's already over. I don't know. But hopefully it's not, and we'll play it with Emma in just a minute. Also on the way, after 11 o'clock, friend of the show, Blind Boy from the Rubber Bandits, is going to be on, as always. And we are going to be talking to a man who has set up a new country. And I mean that. He has set up a thing called a micronation. I don't know if you've ever heard of a micronation, but it's basically a really tiny country that only has a few people, usually on land that nobody wants, kind of thing. But we're going to be talking to the finance minister of the world's newest micronation. And I mean that. This is actually exciting. We've never had a finance minister on, so, you know, really classing it
we
up around here.
Go down the hall to other studios that aren't us. So,
yeah, well,
you know.
Not tonight. RTE Radio 1 has their noses pressed up against the glass and they're like, how did they get this finance minister? And they're really sad. I know that for a fact here, just so you know. Sean O'Rourke was crying today.
I know.
He was. There we go. It's a little bit of Marina and the Diamonds with Prima Donna here on 2FM. I tell you, out of this room, I'm definitely the biggest prima donna.
Yes, you are.
I was going to say I'm in with 2 prima donnas, but I was like, no, I'm not. I'm definitely the biggest prima donna. What am I saying?
I'm glad you're being honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I believe in that, as I'm sure you know, Emma. I believe in honesty and openness and, you know, transparency.
Chris, can I just say something before I go on? Emma, do you have a spare hairband?
What?
No, but I'm looking at his hair. Oh,
what's wrong with my hair,
Chris? God. Look in the studio window there. Can you see your hair is pulled back off your forehead
with my headphones?
Yeah,
because it keeps going into my eyes.
Yeah, we need to maybe purchase a hairband or some sort of band for you to keep your hair out of your eyes.
Is this not working though?
It's just too much forehead. You know,
I just bought this lovely like feathered clip there about a half an hour ago. I should have brought it in.
Oh my god, Chris, can we like GHD your hair?
Sure, sure. Okay. No, my hair is quite long now, so what's happening is it's really annoying and it's going into my eyes, and then when we're on air and stuff I can't see anything on
like
the screens or anything.
Like one of those
shaggy dogs. Kind of, yeah. Like one of those unkempt.
If you're not careful, I'm going to stop petting you soon, do you know?
Oh shit. I can't have that. Well, yeah, I think that this was a cool makeshift solution though, to like push it back with the headphone.
I don't know.
You look hilarious.
Hilarious, don't you mean really sexy?
Hilariously sexy.
Good. Excellent. Well, look. Look, my name is Chris, this wonderful woman.
It's
her name is Kira.
Hello.
And joining us
staring at it.
In the studio, I'm going to take a picture and tweet it actually in a second. And joining us in the studio is friend of the show and fake celebrity news quiz mistress extraordinaire, Miss Emma Power. Let's give her a big round of applause. Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, Emma, I am... Well, firstly, I want to give you almost a preliminary congratulations, because you know how you've been coming in and playing the fake celebrity news quiz with us for a long while now. Well, it would seem that you may be already the winner of 2015.
Like, Chris,
is there proof?
No, there's not proof.
Oh no, I don't know.
How are we doing?
I spent the weekend doing up some statistics of the fake celebrity news quiz.
Yeah.
I took a break to watch the Eurovision, but then I got straight back into
good
going
woman.
Through.
Good woman.
Our different shows. We started this on the 6th of January 2015 this year. It was our first gathering for the fake celebrity
for this
news
year,
quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have done 18 fake celebrity news quizzes since January 6th.
Okay.
That's
right up
lot.
Until last week, May 19th. And Would you like me to reveal the statistics?
Oh no, yeah. I don't like your tone of voice. It's making me a bit nervous.
You sound like a doctor giving us results. Yeah, yeah. You do sound a little So, because before we go on, by the way,
let's just say the prognosis is worse for me than the two of you.
Okay, so how many wins do?
Okay, so out of 18 fake celebrity news quizzes. All right, mm-hmm. out of Chris, Kira and Emma, I can tell you that I'm in third place with only, and this is dismal, this is probably the worst performance. This reminds me of any maths exam I ever did in secondary school. I have only won 3.
Oh my God.
Wow, out of 18.
Yeah.
That's rubbish.
The delight on Emma's face is palpable here.
It's because he won last year, that's why I'm happy.
That is rubbish though.
I actually cannot believe I'm going to say this, but the only hope, Chris, we have of beating Emma is you. Because, Chris, you have won 5 games.
Okay.
But Miss Emma Power has won double that. She has won 10.
Oh, yes, wow. You're wiping the floor with us, Emma. Right.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Emma has won 10, Chris has won 5, and I have won 3. Basically, I would need to, you know, for me to get ahead of Emma, I'd need to win the next 10 weeks in a row.
And that would just be to kind of be ahead of her.
That would be just to be ahead of Emma.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could lose the next 10 weeks in a row.
Chris, you could win potentially the next 5 weeks, 6 weeks in a row, and then you'd be on par with Emma, and then the race would be between the two of you. Now, look, we still have a long, we've 7 months to go, guys. We have 7 months
to go. Yeah, but still, that's not looking good.
Until the end of December, so.
Like, you know, in a race when one horse is way out ahead of everyone, even at, like, kind of near the start,
I don't want to start this fake celebrity news quiz with negativity, so I just want to state, those are the facts. We all know where we stand. We all know what work we have to do. Emma, do you want to give us the fake celebrity news quiz for this week?
All right, Emma, we're going to get 4 stories. One of these stories is going to be fake, okay? This is how this works. Okay, Emma, don't celebrate yet.
I feel like I need to win tonight.
Yeah, maybe what we've done is we've psychologically fecked her out now.
I think
because
you have.
Now she's going to be like, oh God, and now that she knows she was doing so well, she's going to mess it up. But anyway, here's what's going to happen. Emma is going to give us 4 celebrity news stories, okay? She's going to read to us 4 celebrity news stories. One of these stories is going to be fake, okay? One of these is going to be a fabrication by Emma, and we're going to have to try and work out which story is the fake one among all of these real ones. So Emma, if I could hear the 4 stories, please. I will be taking them down, as you know, but I'm not looking them up on the internet or anything. You can see my screen and everything. Yeah.
So at the beginning of his acting career, Kiefer Sutherland
Jack Bauer,
that's what I like to call him,
yeah,
was barred from a Rolex shop.
Why?
Yeah, he dropped and broke a $20,000 watch.
Wow.
Isn't that just your worst nightmare
when
you're in somewhere
like that? This is at the start of his acting career.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even like rich and famous.
Yeah, he wasn't famous. Like, he wasn't well known. Yeah.
He was probably doing a kind of, I'll be a millionaire one day, I might as well have a look at what Rolex looks like kind of thing. Probably was what he was doing, and then drops one.
What is it about men? They get a tiny little bit of power, and the first thing they want to go and purchase is a really expensive Rolex watch.
No, my boyfriend's obsessed with watches.
Yeah, I know other guys that are obsessed with watches as well. Chris, are you?
No.
Not yet, until he makes his like first million, and the next thing he'll be coming in here dripping a Rolex.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to buy Dave a watch box last year for Christmas.
What's that? Just like all different watches, like a collection of
watches in and keep them all together.
Wow.
Because he's got so many, yeah.
Yeah, I
bought him a watch as well.
Really?
Yeah.
He was probably just like, oh, cool, another watch, you know? And it's probably not one that he liked because he didn't choose it himself. I'm sorry, actually, it was probably a lovely gift.
I actually buy the best presents, Chris.
Say you do.
For that little comment, I'm never going to buy you one. I will buy Kira a lovely present.
Do.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I like it.
By all means. Well, story number one, Kiefer Sutherland dropped a Rolex worth €20,000 and then was barred from a Rolex shop as a result. Silly old Kiefer Sutherland. What is story number two?
Story number two is about Victoria Beckham. So, you know, Victoria Beckham is obviously Posh Spice and she's this big designer and really serious. Well, she's not serious, but she comes across that way. Well, she once played a sperm on roller skates for a BBC sex education show. So she was a little sperm skating around in her roller skates.
Wow.
Like, did she voice the sperm?
Was she like,
she just skated.
Like, you know, like gurgling and like, yeah.
So it wasn't animated.
Thank you, Emma. I liked that demonstration.
So it wasn't animated. It was like real life. She was dressed as a sperm.
She was a sperm, yeah.
If ye were breaking into acting, right? And
no way.
BBC was like, look, we like you two girls. I mean, we like your look. You're talented ladies. We need someone to play a few of the kind of the less prestigious parts to work their way up. What would you do?
I'd say no.
Really, Emma?
Well, I think I did a pretty good sperm impression there. So, you know, I think I'd probably nail it.
Emma, you know your
and
sperm, in fairness.
I'd be in Hollywood within a week.
You would. They would be amazed.
There's enough bad audio from the past 7 years of me working on this show. Which I think would probably embarrass me for the rest of my days anyway. So nothing I can do could be any worse than what I do on the show.
You're not trying to add to that. You think you've probably done enough.
Yeah, that's
fair enough. All right. Well, that's story number two. What is story number three, Emma?
Story number three is about Facebook. So we're all on Facebook or have been on Facebook at some stage.
I'm not on Facebook.
Well, Kira, thanks for that.
And Chris isn't on Facebook.
Actually, Emma, only 33%.
Have you ever been on Facebook?
For like a week in 2007. And then this was when in college when it first started and you actually had to have a college email address to use it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is stupid. Look how wrong I was. But anyway, so what about Facebook?
So did you know that Al Pacino was the very first face to appear on Facebook?
Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Okay.
That actually makes sense because Facebook is kind of like a college thing. That's where it kind of, took off. And everybody has pictures of Al Pacino on their wall, along with posters of Che Guevara.
That's true. Yes, you're dead right.
So,
Cara Village in Galway, NUIG, student
combination.
Yeah, and just that quote and him with the machine gun. Yeah, you're dead right. So Al Pacino was the very first face to appear on Facebook. I tell you, that could very well be true. What is story number four, Emma?
Story number four is that Bear Grylls once survived. Sorry, Bear Grylls. I know, he keeps popping up.
Are you obsessed with Bear Grylls?
No, he annoys me.
Does he really though,
He once survived a free fall. He had an accident when he was parachuting and the parachute never came out and he free-falled 16,000 feet and survived it.
What? How? Like, did he fall into water? How could you survive that?
It was the way he fell, the way he landed.
He's trained to land a certain way if he falls 16,000 feet.
Super.
Wow, he must be. Wow, we. All right. Well, there you go. Those are the four stories. Let's have a listen really quickly. Story number one, Kiefer Sutherland dropped a Rolex in a Rolex shop once worth 20 grand and as a result was barred from the Rolex shop. Story number two, Victoria Beckham once played a sperm on roller skates on TV. Story number three, Al Pacino was the very first face to ever be uploaded to Facebook. And story number four, Bear Grylls once survived a free fall of 16,000 feet. Emma, did you say 16,000 feet?
Yeah.
Okay. Of 16,000 feet. You'd have to think that's the fake one, wouldn't you?
You'd have to think, but I don't know.
Unless Emma's really crap at maths and she was making up a fake story and was like, that's believable.
Why did Emma mention Bear Grylls again?
She's really into her old Bear Grylls, isn't she?
I did a skydive before.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you happen to free fall 16,000 feet?
14,000 feet, but I didn't free fall all of that.
So you like opened the parachute at some point?
I didn't. That guy on my back did.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Typical weekend for him. But that was too easy. Apologies.
Don't get jealous.
It's too obvious. I think we'd have a great time if we did that. I think we should go skydiving together. I think it'd be incredible.
Kira.
Good for that guy. Jeez. Good for that guy.
If on the way down, you could just kind of flip over.
Yeah.
I would really appreciate it.
Could you feel like the guy's lad against you or anything strapped to you?
No, I couldn't feel the lad.
Please don't turn the parachute jump into something sexual.
But they are strapped to each other.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's already sexual enough. I'm not doing anything.
It was the best experience of my life. Seriously, stop talking. Don't ruin it for me,
you're,
Chris.
You're giving him more ammo here. Anyway.
Go give him.
Right, so they're the four fake celebrity news stories today. Okay.
Okay, well, I mean, you'd have to think a man falling 16,000 feet and not dying is the fake story, but
you would.
It mustn't be.
I've never heard of Victoria Beckham playing a sperm on roller skates.
Okay, is that what you're going to say is the fake story?
I think so, because my reasoning behind the Al Pacino one is pretty legit, I think.
Okay.
Kiefer Sutherland, maybe that did happen. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm going to say Victoria Beckham never played a sperm on roller skates on a BBC programme.
Interesting. Okay. In that case, I'm going to say the fake story is the Al Pacino story.
Oh, really, Chris? Yeah. You're not going to go with the Bear Grylls?
No. And to tell you why, I thought about it more. And my understanding is Facebook was originally a joke among a few college lads where they set up a thing where they uploaded pictures of all of their female classmates and then rated them on attractiveness.
But before Facebook was launched, though. As Facebook.
Oh, maybe.
You know what I'm trying
to say? Sorry, yeah.
Not that I'm trying to change your mind, because look, at this stage, I would appreciate you getting a win or me getting a win here.
Yeah.
No offense, Emma.
I'm feeling so loved tonight.
Hmm. You haven't felt this loved since that parachute, Jove. You did.
What an experience.
Okay, I'm going to say the fake story is the Al Pacino story.
Okay, go with your gut. Yeah. Go with your woman's intuition.
Us ladies have a certain woman's intuition. I think I should just trust it, all right? Emma, are you happy with how that went?
Yep.
Okay, I'm saying the fake story is the Al Pacino story, Kira. You're saying the fake story is...
the Victoria Beckham.
Okay. Then. Joining us in the studio, as she does every Tuesday, let's give her a big round of applause. It's friend of the show and fake celebrity news quiz mistress extraordinaire, Emma. I'm sorry, we got a little distracted when you first came in. I didn't even get a chance to give out your Twitter.
Is becoming a habit now at this stage. Kira, can you take over from
hey,
him?
Hey, the reason I didn't was because Kira was given the statistics. Distracted all of us. Okay, Emma?
I was the Kira brains behind this operation.
Yeah, exactly. If anything, Kira sabotaged your social media plug.
And I'm here sticking up for her, saying don't blame Kira. Kira, I've got a bit of a husky voice tonight.
Huh?
Is it just in my head?
I've got a bit of a who does?
A bit of a iffy throat.
Who?
Me.
Do you?
Yeah, my voice sounds a bit different.
I can't tell what's going on here.
It's a little bit.
Anyway, right, let's get back to the fake celebrity news, Chris.
I have no idea. Okay, cool. Well, Emma, your Twitter is at EmmaPower87, at EmmaPower87. And of course, your Instagram is Instagram.com/EmmaPower87. Go online, give Emma a follow, be her friend. It's all happening on Emma's Instagram, I tell you. However, we are here for other important reasons. Emma, you come in every week, you give us four celebrity news stories. However, one of these stories is fake, and it's up to Kira and I to try and guess which story is the fake story. Before we get into it, could you be so kind as to give us the four stories again, please?
Sure.
Thank you, Emma.
So the first one is that Kiefer Sutherland was once barred from a Rolex shop after he dropped and broke a $20,000 watch.
Okay.
Victoria Beckham once played a sperm on roller skates for a BBC sex education show.
Yeah.
Al Pacino was the very first face to appear on Facebook.
Okay.
And Bear Grylls once survived a free fall parachuting accident from 16,000 feet.
Very interesting. Kira, those are the four stories.
Yes.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to get the fog machine going. I'm going to dim the lights a little bit, and we're going to make it very tense. Okay? So, Kira, what did you say was the fake story?
I said the fake story was the Victoria Beckham story. I said that she did not play a sperm on roller skates on a BBC programme.
Okay. I said the fake story was Al Pacino being the first face to appear on Facebook. I said that was fake. Because I think it was probably like Mark or one of those guys, if you know what I mean. I'm sure they put their own face
that
up there
Zuckerberg
first.
Dude,
you know what I mean, though? Like, I'm sure like he put his own face up for the novelty or whatever. Maybe he didn't. Who knows? We're going to find out. Again, Kira and I both wavered between the idea of the Bear Grylls surviving a 16,000 foot fall story being fake. But Emma could have it phrased a weird way or something, you know, so that it looks like it's fake, but it isn't. I didn't trust Emma tonight with that, I have to say. So I didn't fall for it. But who knows? Maybe it's a true story. Emma, can you start narrowing down some of the stories, please?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
So, which one did you pick again? Chris, Al Pacino?
The Al Pacino story.
So, I can tell you that the Bear Grylls story is true.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So he fell. The parachute didn't come out, but he fell and landed on his parachute backpack thing, and that saved him.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He crushed 3 vertebrae, but that was all that happened.
Wow, but he landed on the bag that was supposed to open. Wow, Jesus.
Yeah. Only Bear Grylls.
That's fortunate. Yeah, that is fortunate. Good man, Bear Grylls. All right, so that's real. I thought that would be too fake to be the fake story, if you get me.
Yeah.
Too obvious.
So, Chris, how are you feeling about like being in second place? Are you feeling confident?
Uh-oh.
Emma, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd like to be in first place. I'm not going to lie. I came here to win. I came here to get to first place in the fake celebrity news quiz. I'm not reaching my full potential. At least I'm ahead of Kira, but I would still like to be first. I won't lie.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Being under you, though, Emma, is cool as well. Don't get me wrong. That is enjoyable, too. And being on top of Kira, that's also enjoyable. I'm in a good position here, but I'd like to be at the top. Okay?
I'm sorry, Chris. You're not on top tonight.
Oh, damn it.
Al Pacino was the very first face to appear on Facebook.
Yeah, see, Chris, you should have listened to my reasoning.
Yeah.
Okay, Kira, I don't need that now.
Okay, so it's between me and Emma.
Kira, I wouldn't get so cocky if I were you.
Here we go.
Emma, have you won again?
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
So Victoria Beckham did play a sperm on roller skates on a BBC program.
Yes.
And Kiefer Sutherland. Okay, I'm gonna just a note, Chris, right? This is the second week in a row that Emma has used the fake story as the first story.
But she's no pattern. She has no.
She's a sociopath. That's what she is.
There's no way of predicting this woman.
Emma, congratulations. I don't know what we're going to do.
No worries. Thank you.
Wow. Emma, congrats, I guess. I mean, this is really starting to affect how I feel about myself and the fake celebrity news quiz, but what can I do?
As long as it's not affecting how you're feeling about me.
No,
that's, I mean, all
right, that's,
you know?
That's unchanged.
Don't let it put you off me.
I'll try not to. I mean, I'll try and look past it. But as a man, you know, I can't possibly have a woman do better than me in life. Like, that's really difficult for me. You know what I'm saying?
That is masculinity, am I?
Yeah, it's like, you know, when they say, like, when in the couple, the girl learns more and then the guy is all angry. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're totally outdoing us on the film quiz.
You're really angry that Kira's earning more than you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know the sexism that goes on here in RT is incredible. It really is, absolutely. Well, look, Emma, congratulations. There's nothing else to say.
I don't know.
You're winning again. It's like, there's a real pattern here. Kira has been having a bad streak in the wrap-offs. We've been having a terrible streak with Emma. No, but I'm saying there's always a winner.
In life.
Yeah, and in life.
There is always a winner, yeah.
Yeah, and it's you, Emma.
It's always me.
Congrats.
Actually, you know what? I'm not going to be cocky and I'm not going to pretend like I'm the ultimate overall winner because I haven't won, really.
No, we'll
because we
find
still have
out
months
next
left to
December,
go. And last year I thought I won, but you actually won, Kira, so.
Well, we'll see who's laughing in December, I suppose.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. If any of us are still here, we haven't all been fired. If RTE isn't laughing and saying, wasn't hiring them the worst thing ever that we did? But anyway, look, Emma, your Twitter is at EmmaPower87. At EmmaPower87 is your Twitter. Of course, your Instagram, instagram.com/EmmaPower87. Emma, thank you, as always.
Thank
for
you.
For coming
bye.
On this evening.
Chris and Kira on 2FM.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go. That's Mr. Wives, our own heart here on 2FM. Right, hello everyone, what's going on? Look at this, 6 minutes past 11. Okay, the evening is getting away from us. Also, a lot of texts came in when I was translating what that Muslim cleric was saying about if you masturbate. Lads, I don't have answers for any of those questions. Like, for example, what happens if your hand takes the pill? What happens if you use the wank band? Do you end up with a cyborg?
Also,
what happens,
Chris,
if you use latex gloves? Yes.
That's from Colman Balnaslow. He sounds very concerned. If you wear latex gloves while pleasuring yourself, does that count as hand contraception?
Colman Balnaslow, I am going to put all these questions to him, all right? That's all I can do for now. I'm going to send them over to him and see what he says, and we'll get back to you. By the way, hello everyone. My name is Chris. This is Q.
Hello.
Hey, actually, I'm looking forward to this. On the way in just a minute, we are going to have a finance minister. That's right, a finance minister.
On this show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very highbrow.
We decided we needed to kind of intellectualise the show a little bit, you know?
Yeah, so a finance minister is going to be on in a minute. Also, friend of the show, Blind Boy, is going to be on between now and midnight. Blind Boy is out having a merry evening tonight. I was chatting to him on the phone earlier. He's in good form. Let's put it that way. So I'm looking forward to hearing from him. I'm sure we'll have all of the chats. However, how about this? 51552 is the number if you'd like to get in contact. Also, my Twitter is at HateChrisGreen, at HateChrisGreen, and Kira's is at IAmKiraKing. Simple as that. At IAmKiraKing. Go online, give her a follow, all of that. Okay? Thank you. Enough of this, Kira. There's important things going on, all right? I mean, usually it's RTÉ Radio 1 that have all the big, you know, political leaders and this and that, and they have the Taoiseach in and they have world leaders.
The minister for this and the minister for that.
Kira, we have a minister of finance on the phone. Not Ireland's minister of finance, but a minister of finance. Zach Ferrigno, hi, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
Good, man, thanks. Well, look, firstly, Zach, thank you for coming on. I believe you're the first minister of finance we've ever had on the show, so a big welcome to you. This is very serious by our standards.
This is a big deal for us.
This is a big deal for us. But, Zach, you are the minister of finance of the Kingdom of... Now, let me make sure I'm pronouncing this correctly. Enclave?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, Enclave is the smallest country in Europe, apparently. It is 100 square feet... And it's basically in a kind of a no man's land. Am I right in saying this? This is one of the smallest countries in the world.
It is, yeah. At the moment, it is one of the smallest countries in the world, sort of in between Croatia and Slovenia.
Okay, so it's in the countries located in between Slovenia and Croatia. And you guys, have you guys become an independent nation, or what's happening here?
Well, the area that it's actually in is, it's sort of in an undisputed area of land that you know, none of the countries have actually claimed. So somebody claimed it and, you know, decided to set up a completely independent country there.
So just to make sure I get this, I'm just going to imagine that there's like a bit on the edge of Slovenia and there's another bit on the edge of Croatia and it kind of borders the two of them and neither of them are bothered doing anything with it. So you guys have said, Asher, geez, we could make it a country if we gave it a go. Is that what's happened?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that's actually really cool. So what is your country's status at the moment, Zach?
That's an interesting one. A lot of countries like this, sort of, you know, micronations have difficulty, you know, sort of being recognised by the international community. So at the moment, you know, we're self-declared, you know, an independent country. We've got our own government. We're moving on with a few things at the moment. So at the moment, our status is we're our own country, but we're not recognised by the rest of the international community.
Not yet.
Not yet, no.
Now, is there a process? Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, so you're not recognised by any of the world's governments?
No. Okay. No, not technically.
Well, look, not yet, Zach. I mean, I don't think we should say not. I mean, you know, not for now, anyway. Like, I mean, this I think this is a cool idea. But here's what I think is interesting, right? You, as the Minister of Finance, actually, Zach, I think you're the person most qualified to answer this question. I've got a very deep now financial question here. I've read here that the idea of you guys and your micronation is that it's going to be a tax-free community of people who are going to be able to choose from languages and all this kind of stuff, and where everyone is going to be equal under, you know, citizens of the world kind of thing, which I think is a fantastic idea. But, Zach, if there's no tax whatsoever, I mean, how are you guys going to keep the party going? I mean, where are we going to get the funds from?
That's a really good point. At the moment, our official currency is a cryptocurrency. I'm not sure if you've heard of that
Bitcoin
before.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not as sort of not as expensive as Bitcoin. From its popularity, is become incredibly expensive.
Sure, so sure.
We're using an offshoot called Dogecoin. It's called.
Oh yes, I'm familiar with Dogecoin. Right, yes.
Oh yeah.
And the logo is that Shibia dog, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
All right, great,
it
fantastic.
Is.
I believe I own some Dogecoin, actually. Believe it or not, so I might be able to purchase some property. Yes, Kira, I might be able to purchase some property in England. I don't know yet. I'm going to consider it. So you guys are using a cryptocurrency, which is fascinating in its own way as a direction the world is going in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's interesting to try and get your head around the fact that it's a completely non-physical thing, but it entirely, you know, it has real world value.
You can purchase things with these cryptocurrencies. Absolutely. They're hugely valuable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the moment, the amount of things, you know, sort of online web stores that you can use Bitcoin and Dogecoin and all sorts of cryptocurrencies to buy things, you know, is growing so much these days.
People have made and lost an awful lot of money with Bitcoin. We talk about Lily Allen on the show all the time, how she turned down, wasn't it, sales in Bitcoin, Chris?
Yeah, are you familiar with that, Zach? That Lily Allen years ago, like, I mean, years and years ago, was offered Bitcoin as a concert payment. A bunch of guys online got together and said, we could get Lily Allen to do a concert for us. We'll offer her Bitcoin. I believe the Bitcoin today would be worth something like 73 million.
Yeah,
as in the Bitcoin.
Right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You're making fun of those nerds with their Bitcoin. Well, look,
Zach, I have to ask: how does one become Minister of Finance for the Kingdom of Enclava?
Well, one day I was on the internet on Reddit, and I saw a post about it. About, you know, somebody had created this small nation, and they were looking for members of the government. So I contacted the person, and I was asked to submit, you know, sort of an application for the voting process to happen. I put in that I've got a bit of experience with cryptocurrencies and things like that. I threw a picture of myself in there, and before I knew it, I had an email pop up asking if I wanted to be the Minister of Finance.
Wow. Geez, that was lucky. That was a stroke of luck for you. Jesus. Hey, here's what's interesting, though, as well, because I meant to ask this, Zach. This is genuinely cool, and this is 100 square meters of land, and it's obviously, I'd imagine, as you say, it's undisputed land, as in basically kind of no man's land. Have you ever actually been to it? I'd imagine it's quite remote and or difficult to get to, is it?
It is, yeah. I've personally not yet visited, but there are plans at some point to, you know, to have a little trip to the country to see what we're dealing with, to meet the... to meet the local people around there,
Zach,
you know. Hopefully,
Zach,
not start a war.
What if you go there and you're like, ah, this is a bit crap. I don't want to be the Minister of Finance for this.
I think
field.
I think the point of this sort of micronation, this small country, it's not necessarily the land, the physical land you have. I think it's more the idea behind it. Like you said, it's such a small piece of land that you will never be able to build anything substantial there, obviously, but I think it's more the idea behind it.
Well, look at the Vatican City.
Yeah, hey, look, Zach, don't be knocking it. I mean, look at Vatican City, look what they're worth. Mm-hmm. They did something right. But Zach, I mean, is there anything currently there? Is there any physical structure at all there?
I don't believe so, no. I think at the moment it's just a small patch of grass and a bit of land at the moment.
But look, everything starts out something like that.
Exactly.
But I need to ask, Zach, what is the, I guess you could say, governmental structure of Enclave? Is it a dictatorship? Is it a democracy? Like, who is above you? Is there a president, a prime minister, a dictator? How does it work? A great leader?
We have a prime minister. She is an 18-year-old student called Anne. She's a lovely person, and we're definitely a democracy. We're
good.
Completely democratic.
So Anne, I mean, who could go? I guess how would I put it? To whom would I submit a citizenship application? Do you guys have a Department of Foreign Affairs, or what would go on there?
We do. We have a Minister for Foreign Affairs who is a Chinese student again, and he's currently dealing with sort of the process to gain citizenship and everything that goes along with that.
Oh, do you guys have a website now? Could I somehow put in an application, or what would we be dealing with?
Chris
here?
Sounds like he's invested.
I'm
in
thinking of it.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm thinking of putting in a few euro or Dogecoin, as
Dogecoin.
It would be the cryptocurrency. I mean, I could do it if it meant citizenship. You know, do you guys offer that kind of corrupt system where I could buy citizenship, or would it have to be earned?
We are definitely, we're dealing with things with the website at the moment, because obviously there isn't a physical place you can go to speak to somebody. On the website very shortly, we are going to have a form ready so that you can apply for citizenship. And the way that I'm hoping to do it is a small donation in Dogecoin to the country that obviously helps keep things running, helps keep things the way that they are and the way that we want them to be. And in return, you get citizenship to the Kingdom of Enclave, and you're a citizen of the world.
Okay, I would just like to give you a little bit of a heads up before you give Chris Green
Kira, don't jeopardize my application.
Maybe you could come to me as a reference,
no,
Zach.
Kira, stop this. Kira is trying to sabotage my citizenship application. I think that is disgraceful. But look, Zach, I love stuff like this, and I really do. I mean, and I think, I know I did, and I don't know if I'm in a minority here, but especially when I was a kid, I used to always think, I'd love to make my house like its own country, or I'd love to make like the land on which my house is its own country. You know what I mean? We all think that kind of stuff.
No,
it'd be fun.
No, Chris, I just kind of think in a past life that you were definitely some sort of dictator.
Oh, you know it.
Or
oh,
like
you know it.
Pharaoh King.
Oh, you know it.
No,
you
seriously.
Know it.
I truly believe that, because there's been a theme running across this show for the past couple of years that we've been doing it, and it always comes back to basically owning your own city or owning your own country.
Or people. Chris, or owning my own.
Chris finds these articles and Chris finds these countries and these micronations, and I'm telling you,
I love it.
He's got a big plan.
I
this
really
is all
do.
Part of the big plan.
Well, look, Zach, I would not overthrow or in any way do anything aggressive to the Kingdom of Enclave. I consider it a nice country. I think that we would have a peaceful relationship. But you know what, Zach? I do find this stuff on a bigger level, as you say, fascinating. The way you guys are using cryptocurrencies, the way you guys are doing all that, it really is a direction in which the world is going. I mean, there's so little need for physical locations, for physical anything anymore, really. I mean, when you can have cryptocurrencies, when you can have all of that, it's a new world we're living in. So I actually think things like the Kingdom of Enclave are really cool symbols of that, if you will, and how you guys can like source people from different parts of the world. Zach, you're an English guy, are you?
I am, yes, yeah.
All right, I was wondering, so you're based in the UK?
Yes.
All right, cool. Very good. No, it just sounds like you guys are, you know, spread all over the place. And the, did I see it was a Polish guy that set this up?
Yeah, it was actually.
Very good. Well, look, Zach, thank you so much for coming on, dude.
Thanks very much for having me.
Cheers,
and
Zach.
You are very welcome. If you'd like to become a citizen, and you too, though, Kira, no matter how much you protest about these kind of things.
Well, look, man, I appreciate that, Kira. Look, I'm telling you,
thank you.
We could get in on the ground
floor
here.
If Ireland ever doesn't want us, we will be straight over to Enclava.
Yeah, if some weird citizenship thing happens in Ireland where we all, you know, lose our citizenship or something, that's where we're going.
They find out what Chris got up to in Thailand.
Yeah, I told you you're not allowed to mention that.
Sorry.
But anyway.
This is fascinating.
It is cool.
Bar the Vatican City, I've never heard of these kind of micronations or small, tiny, tiny countries. Obviously, the Vatican City isn't a micronation.
It is, I think. Is it's it? Its own country, as far as I'm aware. Like, it's legally a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think there's a little bit of a difference between, let's say, the Vatican City, Chris, and the Kingdom of Enclave that we were just talking about there.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's this really interesting one.
Yeah.
A micronation was set up called Sealand.
Was it?
Yeah, pretty original. The guy's name was Paddy Roy Bates, right?
Okay.
He's the self-appointed Prince of Sealand. And it was set up in a disused Second World War platform in international waters about 7 miles out to sea. And this fort, right, it makes money by hosting internet servers and by selling aristocratic titles. And Sealand even has its own flag.
I love these places where, like, you can buy the king of town for like €50 on the internet. And you're like, oh no, I am the king of a province in Sealand, I'll have you know. And there's loads of these places. Another one, apparently, which is a micronation, is Whanganomana.
Catchy title.
The Republic of Whanganomana. Or whatever. I don't know. It was formed in 1989, apparently. And it's 45 minutes west of Stratford. Apparently, they hold their own presidential elections. The town office offers passports. Wow,
Lonely Planet described it as a key highlight on the Forgotten World Highway. And it only has 30 residents.
I would like to make my own country.
Liberland is another one. And that's on the other side of Croatia. It's the new sovereign nation of Liberland. And it was only created last month. So these micronations are popping up all over the place. Chris, you know what me and you need to do?
A micronation.
No, we need to go down to Connemara. We need to find, you know, there's a lot of land down there, Chris, that people don't use.
There is a lot of total barren nothing that we could just move into.
There's bogs, there's fields. We could create our own micronation in Connemara.
I would love it.
And then we become the king and queen of Connemara.
Oh my God, I'd love that. That
Why
would
do
be
I feel
incredible.
It would end in tears, though.
It wouldn't. As long as we kept all of our citizens under a fierce regime, it won't end badly. I'm telling you, that's how you keep a country going.
True.
You just really suppress all of your citizens and you do fine. That's how it works. But also, we would do it better than Cork.
You'd be like the Kim Jong-un of Connemara.
Oh, definitely. I'd be killing you with a nuclear whatever missile.
I'd be appearing in the media smiling beside you. But if you looked into my eyes, you can see the fear.
And you'd have one of those, you know, those old like Jackie Onassis hairdos. Where like she has the big thing and everything, and I'd have this really weird grin on my face, and I'd tell you, it would be the most amazing country ever. I would love it. Joining us on the phone is friend of the show and of course Mr. Blind Boy Bone Club, one half of the Rubber Bandits. Let's give him a big round of applause. Blind Boy, hi.
How are you, lads?
Good.
I forgot that I was supposed to go onto the radio with G, and I went out and I met some old friends and I got absolutely langers.
That's all right. Okay. Yeah, you can still come on. There's nothing to stop you from coming on, even if you are langers.
Yeah, I won't curse.
Good. Oh, that's all right. You can curse if you really feel cursing would help your point. I think we'd be all right with it.
I could ask though. Don't drop the C word. That's the only thing.
Oh,
I'm asking.
Yeah, you can't say the C word.
I won't say the C word or the N word or the P word.
Okay, cool. All right.
And I know both of you are going, what's the P word?
I was like, I'm not sure what the P word is, but look, blind.
Have a think about it.
I will. Okay, hold on. I will, and I'll try and guess it before you go off with us tonight.
I'm not even going to say it. I'm not going
to
say it.
Okay, that's fair enough. I appreciate that, Blind Boy. You're sticking to your guns. Blind Boy, really quickly, before we get down to business, actually, congratulations. Blind Boy, of course, was repping big style on BBC Newsnight last week.
I actually looked that up and I saw it.
Of course, we're allowed to talk about the referendum now.
Yeah, it's all a moot issue now, Blind Boy. We can say whatever we want.
Well, I personally loved the drag of the cigarette and the lookout over the river, you know. I loved that. I thought you looked great.
It was very James Dean, Blind Boy. I liked it.
That was my only terms for the interview. I said to them on BBC, I said, I will only do an interview if you allow me to look very pensive over the Shannon River. And they allowed, I swear to God, that was my only terms.
Well, it worked. It absolutely worked, so it did.
Yeah, I'm glad you included those terms. But yeah, fair play, Blind Boy. It was very cool to see you on talking about the referendum and everything on such a big platform. It was awesome. But look, Blind Boy, to I guess more immediate and more pressing issues, I hope, and I'm going to say this with sincerity, I hope that this does not cause any tension when I'm about to talk about. But Kira and I are from Galway. You obviously, Blind Boy.
I was worried about that.
Yeah, you're from Limerick, Blind Boy.
But I'm going to tell you, sorry, Chris, if I may interrupt.
You may.
What you need to know, blind boy, is that we have got conflicted emotions about this because my mother is from Limerick and Chris's father is from Limerick.
Yeah. So, all I mean, you know, that there is that. We're proper. I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Limerick. I'm very, very acquainted with it. I love
Limerick.
Bought
a lot of stuff from the Crescent Shopping Centre. I'm not going to lie, you know.
I have bought a lot of stuff from there. Used to eat in Ivan's all the time. Used to get nice buns and cake and stuff from there. So, believe me. But we have an affinity for Limerick.
Saw Rod Stewart in Thomond Park, Chris.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't know how we're going to...
Rod Stewart.
Yep. And I'll tell you something else as well. Pat Schwartz was sitting just a couple of seats away from me, so it was an amazing night.
Yeah, I'd say so. But look, let's get down to it. The reason we are saying this and prefacing this is because, well, Blind Boy was going to chat to us about, or I was going to chat to Blind Boy about the fact that Limerick is running for City of Culture 2020, but unfortunately... Galway is also running for the European Capital of Culture in 2020. So, I mean, I don't know, Blind Boy. It could get a little...
Are you going to pitch Limerick City for us right now, Blind Boy?
I'm going to pitch Limerick, right? But unfortunately, lads, the only way that I can pitch Limerick is by dissing Galway.
Look, Blind Boy, for the sake of academic discussion...
We're going to have to be impartial here on 2FM.
And we've all have to distance ourselves from this situation, right?
Okay.
Now, the thing... Here's the issue I have with Galway, right? Galway is a very cultural place. 15 years ago. And when you go up to Galway now, it's people wearing flared trousers. And the thing, now here's the thing, right? Now Galway is an example of culture gone wrong.
Oh, is it?
Because hold on a second. Galway was an incredibly cultural place and then they decided to turn it into tourism. And they've turned Galway has gotten its cultural identity so far up its own arse that it's selling it to the Yanks. And that's not culture, that's tourism. Whereas Limerick has been decimated by the recession. And as a result of that decimation, it's got genuine culture. It's got warehouses that aren't used. It's got all of this. So Galway has done its culture, but Limerick is nothing but potential. Limerick is a bullet in a gun waiting to be shot.
Okay, well then sell Limerick to us then, so Blind Boy.
Well, that's what he's saying, I guess. He's saying that, you know...
No, what about Limerick then, so? What is it about Limerick?
Okay, the first thing about Limerick is that it's just been recently announced that Ardmore Studios up in Wicklow is moving to Limerick.
That is a big deal.
That's pretty cool.
Ardmore are massive.
That's a fairly big deal.
And yeah, it's huge.
That's going to impact on Limerick in terms of the not just Ardmore Studios, but the businesses that grow up around it. So you've got like props houses, costume houses, all of this. The main reason that Ardmore is moving to Limerick is because in Dublin or in Wicklow at the moment, they've got a flight path from Dublin Airport is above Ardmore. Now, if you look at the film industry, the one thing that's changing the film industry is drone cameras, yeah?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So if you think of, there used to be things called dollies, which is a camera up on a crane, and there used to be cameras on wires. That's all obsolete now because of drones. The drone cannot fly in Wicklow.
Is that right, Blind
Why?
Boy? Is it within certain restricted flight area?
Because it's in the flight space of Dublin Airport. The drone cannot fly in Wicklow.
Wow!
I didn't know
in
that.
In the area of Castletroy in Limerick, the drone can fly freely, like a very wild bee.
But would it not be in, and this is me, would it not be anywhere near the flight path of planes flying in and out of Shannon?
No, it's not in the flight path. So that's the reason that Hollywood is looking at Limerick. And it's going to get 700 jobs in that factory and then a proposed 1,000 or 2,000 jobs in the periphery region of that place.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't actually know that. Blind Boy has some pretty good statistics here to back up his argument, Kira. I don't know if we have these for Galway. I mean,
The other thing as well, lads, Limerick needs it. And that's the important thing. Everyone knows that Galway is cultural. The thing about Limerick really, really needs it. Limerick's got a bad problem with its image, and it needs to embrace that image. And the fact of the matter is Limerick is a very cultural place, and we need to redefine what culture is. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And the thing is as well, even with ourselves as the Rubber Bandits, we draw an analogue between the cultural success of the Rubber Bandits and the cultural success of Limerick. Everyone said to us from the very start, lads, all right, it's only a Limerick joke, it's never going to make it outside. Then we made it up as far as Dublin. Oh, lads, that's only an Irish joke. That's never going to make it outside. And then we made it globally.
Exactly.
And that's the way I feel about Limerick.
Okay, wasn't Limerick the capital of culture there? Was it last year or 2 years ago?
It was 2014. Limerick was the Irish city of culture.
So now
we did a wonderful job of it, and the evidence of that is the fact that many cultural industries have been sustained since the 2014. We've got the Culture and Chips Festival, which is the only festival in the world that celebrates the wonder of the chip.
I've heard about this festival.
And now here's the thing. Let's think about the chip in terms of a psychosocial situation, right?
The chip,
let's
okay.
Look at the chip. Yeah. Ireland's history with potatoes.
Sure.
Like, potatoes are these things that we sustained. Our livelihood was all about potatoes, to the fact that the famine decimated the population. And now we're fancy bastards with chip.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the fanciest thing you can do with a spud? Boil it in the fat of a pig.
That is true, actually. Yeah, you are right. Yeah.
That's very fancy.
It's very pretentious in a way. It's a very pretentious end that the chip, that the potato has come to. Yeah.
A second, no, there's no pretense to that.
You don't think?
I don't think there's. What do you think? Do you think there's pretense in boiling a bit of potato in the fat of a pig, in the stomach, the excess of a pig's gluttony?
I guess
a pig is a very gluttonous creature, and the product as a result of that gluttony is fat, and then you get this product of gluttony, the very thing we did not have in the famine, and then to boil a potato in a pig's gluttony, I think it's a very beautiful artistic intervention.
I suppose it is
on a culinary level.
Sure, I guess nice. It is in a way, Blind Boy. I guess I do see the merit of what you're saying there. Well, look, Blind Boy, I think Kieran and I came to this argument unprepared because, I mean, you have statistics.
No, at the same time, I love Galway.
Oh, sure, of course.
I don't know, Chris, there's an awful lot about Galway City.
Hold on one second.
All of Ireland, right? This is the way it works.
Yeah.
You've got, all right, Cork is Limerick's older brother.
Yeah, that is true.
Dublin is our cousin who's a little bit too posh. He's not too interested in it.
He's not, God
then
bless him.
Galway is our younger brother, who smokes too much ass and stays up all night playing PlayStation and not finishing first year in NASCAR.
I guess.
That's Galway.
I guess.
And Limerick is the fella in the middle who's doing a trade in woodwork, who really wants to make something of himself, but no one will let him because he's doing a trade.
Yeah, and you know what? They look down on him. They do. And they think less of him. And I absolutely agree with you, Blind Boy.
I don't know. I'm sitting here
I think Limerick needs the capital of culture more than Galway needs it. Galway can have it in 20, maybe 30, 15. Man, that'll be pure Blade Runner, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they'll have hover cars and everything.
Yeah, right. Galway can have city of culture because we're going to have flying cars when Galway can have it. But leave us have it in 2020, please. We really need it very badly. Our city was decimated by by Dell leaving.
Yeah, no, Blind Boy, I do hear what you're saying. And you know what? You're right. Limerick, I think, you know, I think even you guys have helped. And I mean that sincerely. I think the bandits have really helped. But I do still think it has an image problem. That was an accident, Blind Boy.
That's a Freudian slip.
No, it was not, Blind Boy. They're fantastic. I meant to say Blind Boy and bandits, and the two just came together, and there was a bit of spoonerism and this and that, and I didn't know what I was saying.
I'm hearing this, all right? Because I have a Limerick mother.
Speaking of spoonerism, do you know that hipster thing, the boiler room? Have you seen that?
The thing where they go to LA and they play the music, or
very exclusive gig that they do all around the world. They had the best pun of the marriage referendum.
Sure.
They did a gig in Dublin there on the Saturday night at the marriage referendum, and it was a study of Irish garage music.
Okay.
And they said, let's celebrate gay marriage by having some May garage.
That is very good. Actually, I saw that on your Facebook, Blind Boy. Yeah, that was very good.
It's a spoonerism and a pun.
No, it is. It's good. No, Blind Boy, what I was going to say...
A very rare beast.
Yeah, indeed. Well, look, Blind Boy, what I was going to say before you called me on accidentally saying the Blandits, what I was going to say was that you guys have done a huge amount for Limerick, but you're right, Limerick still does have a big image problem, and I agree with you that it does.
But it's one that we need to embrace.
Okay.
You don't pretend it isn't there. You just go, yeah, we've got an image problem.
Yeah.
Let's do something creative with it.
Sure, that's what I'm saying, that this could actually help you. The capital, being the European capital of culture, could hugely help. And I mean, that's insane. What were you going to say, Kieran?
It would be massive. It would be massive for Limerick, and I really hope it happens.
Sure. Kira seems annoyed.
No, I'm not. I've grown up in a house where...
I'll give you one outright.
That's sure. Look, sure. What else would I want? What else would I want?
That's all you need. It'd be grand. Blind Boy, can I have a ride?
Go on. Of course you can, man.
Thank you.
Marriage referendum. I'll go anywhere.
Okay, awesome. Well, there you go. No, you see, I can get both sides. Don't get me wrong. I think Ireland, or I think Galway already is very cool. Like, as in, I think we already have like the cool kind of.
sort out the flared trousers, man.
I'm telling you, Brian, I don't see anyone walking around Galway City in flared trousers.
I did a gig in Galway 2 weeks ago and I counted 7 pairs of flared trousers.
You didn't come across
2015, lads, that's a lot of flares.
I would have
talking,
to agree with you.
We're not talking 70s flares, because that would be cool. We're talking about flares when they were cool around 9/11.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, flares from like Jack and Jones.
When I think of 9/11, I think of Bin Laden and flares.
okay, right. Well, fair enough. Blind boy.
He's trying to like throw terrorism onto Galway City.
Yeah, you're using very loaded words there, Blind boy, to try and, you know, I resent those links being drawn.
All you have to do is talk about drinking.
Ironically, and here's the thing that's just hitting my brain. The current hipster phenomenon of the beard. Do you know where that started?
I guess the Middle East.
As a result of 9/11. When all the boys in the American army went over to Afghanistan, the only way that the local population would take the soldiers seriously when they were engaging with the local population was if the men had beards.
I remember hearing that.
Beards were a huge thing within the patriarchy of Afghan society. So they couldn't speak to these Marines unless they also had beards. They didn't know how to deal with a man with a shorn face.
I actually remember something like that. They also learnt Arabic and they tried to teach them basic Arabic and give them kind of beards and a bit more of an authentic look and see if they couldn't get them to engage. You're dead right.
Hey, look, it's a very inappropriate cultural situation, but those Marines with the beards went back to America and that's where the hipster started. That's where the hipster beard started.
No.
Marines returning home in about 2004, 2005.
There you go. Yeah. Oh dear. I think Blind Boy's gone.
I think he's gone to have a.
Yeah, I think we lost an amazing Blind Boy. Night. Yeah, oh, poor Blind Boy.
Chris, we have to stick up for Galway City. I understand exactly what he's saying about Limerick. And look, I'm half Munster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But
me too.
And I can think of a load of great things to say about Limerick. But Jesus Christ, we've got to stick up for our home city. We've got to stick up for Buckfast drinking down on the, you know what I mean, like the Spanish Arch.
I adore Galway.
We need to talk about, you know, Snackbox and Supermax after the nightclubs at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, I get all that. But
we need to talk, Chris, about Air Square and sitting on a sunny day.
That is
nothing.
Amazing. In fact, that's not culture, though. Like, as in, it's great.
That's part of the culture. Come on.
But I don't know.
You tell me you never drank Buckfast down the Spanish Arch.
I do that every weekend. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, it's not part of the European capital of culture 2020 material.
Maybe we could sell it that way, though.
That this is like a bohemian experience.
A lot of it is synonymous, though, Chris, with Galway City.
What?
That sort of thing.
Sure. Oh, I agree. No, look, Galway already has, I think, a real cool image.
You know, getting the shift outside Supermax.
I don't know if that's like what qualifies you as being part of the European capital of culture.
You mean to tell me a snack box doesn't help you qualify? I just don't know, Chris.
I don't know.
Having a pint outside Nyachtans, there you go.
The only thing I didn't understand was flares. I don't know what Blind Boy...
I swear to God, I haven't seen anybody in Galway City walking around in flares.
Well, Blind Boy seems to have a fixation and a real problem with flares and men who wear flares. So, I don't know. I mean, we will see. It's a long way away. It's 2020. I think we're all right for now. I think
he articulated such a way though that I'd feel sorry for Limerick if he didn't get it.
That's what I'm saying. I love Galway.
Make us bad Galway people.
No, it doesn't. It makes us, in a way, charitable Galway people. That we can be like, you know what? This isn't about our ego. This isn't about us having to be the best. Maybe somewhere deserves it more than us. And I say deserves. I don't mean that in a charity way that they're a sad case and we're not. I mean that maybe they deserve it because it could help them more. Galway is always going to be cultural. Everyone's always going to think, you know, smoking hash in Stephen's, whatever, in, you know.
Trad music.
Yeah,
and
everyone's going to think that's cultural anyway. We're never going to fall out of favour, I think. I think Galway's cool, you know. I think we're always going to be the cool, like, Camden of Ireland. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We can let Limerick have it for 2020. And I'm not saying that in a patronising way. I'm just saying that I'm willing to be, you know, charitable here and positive.
It would make our lives a lot easier too, I'd imagine. What with your dad being from Limerick and my mum being from Limerick.
Yeah, it would be cool. And I think it would be great cross-border relations and all that.
Exactly.
Look, we're not too far away from Limerick, so it's all good. I see what you mean though. I did almost feel like a turncoat there. Not sticking up for Galway. But look, there you go. And I saw as well on Twitter a few people giving you a talking to, Ciara.
Me?
Yeah, that's right.
Why?
Hold on. I had one particular text here. Yes, very well said, from Fionn. Ciara, you don't have to like the musician to like the song. You know what I mean?
You see, I'm not that sort of person.
That's really not a good attitude.
Yeah, I can't help it. It's something I've struggled with, I'm not going to lie.
That shows, though, how closed-minded you are.
Do you think so?
Yeah, that really does. I don't know
you
if
see,
we can be friends anymore.
I have
anymore.
A different set of morals, Chris, I think.
Obviously.
And if I don't like somebody, well, then I can't like what they do.
Wow. But, like, I get that with someone like Chris Brown or something, but Justin Bieber. Like, I like how you can't like that song because he's in it. You know, you're very snobby, I have to say. And I'm really seeing an ugly side of you that I haven't seen for a long time.
What
so
else? I don't care.
Sorry, Kira,
I really
but
don't care.
It's a pity that you feel you have to judge people like that. I really like it. And so does everybody else.
Oh, so you're a believer now, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you say, I'm the one that's changed. Okay.
I don't have to be a believer to like that song, you know. But I also want to say hey to Monique, who's checking in as well, who's on the internet saying hi. Here we go. What is going on with this thing?
I don't know.
Like, I'm not going to spend, like, as in, I think everyone's getting so annoying with this stuff,
well,
with all
actually,
of these internet
Chris,
trends.
It's an internet trend, right? But this is actually something that teenagers have done for decades and decades and centuries, all right? But the difference was they didn't have a social media network to share it on.
Okay. What is it?
It's called the Charlie Challenge, all right? And it trended on Twitter yesterday. Videos were posted of users basically balancing pencils in a cross, right? Surrounded by the words yes and no, and then kind of placed on top of like a Ouija board.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
And seemingly it's this ancient Mexican tradition which seemingly summons up a visit from a demon.
Okay.
Which obviously is indicated to be present by the movement of the pencils towards the word yes.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, come on, Chris. We all heard those stories when we were teenagers growing up about, you know, kids messing around with Ouija boards and flipping a penny. And if the penny lands on heads, that means you open the gateway to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
All this sort of stuff. Did you ever come across
no,
that in secondary school?
No, not really. There was that thing you used to do where, like, you'd say something in front of a mirror, but I couldn't even be bothered doing that. You know?
I mean, can't remember what that was.
You'd say,
what were the words again?
You'd say, Shay the Vahawira, or as in Our Father or whatever, not Our Father, Hail Mary, backwards into a mirror. And like people used to actually try that. And I was like, this is idiocy.
Yeah, or
this
you
is
had to,
nonsense.
You had to stand in front of a mirror with a candle and like the devil would
oh, that's
appear
another one.
Behind you.
If
or something.
You were in a completely dark room, and if you stood in front of the mirror with a candle, well, there might be ghosts and goblins and scary skeletons.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
This is called the Charlie Challenge.
Uh-huh.
And a priest called Father McCarthy, he wrote an open letter and he said that Charlie Challenge is demonic activity.
Oh, stop! Like, this is what annoys me the most.
The letter said, this is a dangerous game going around on social media which openly encourages impressionable young people to summon demons. He says, I want to remind you all there is no such thing as innocently playing with demons. Please be sure to not participate and encourage others to avoid participation as well. The problem with opening yourself up to demonic activity is that it opens a window of possibilities which is not easily closed.
What the fuck is this?
I mean, what annoys me the most is all of this stuff is nonsense, by the way. It's all idiot. I hate it. I hate anyone who does it. I hate anyone who gets involved in it. I hate anyone who tries it. I think it's the stupidest thing you can possibly do.
You can't give out to people for curiosity. I mean, as I said, this has been going on for centuries. This is just a new wave of it now. And also, it's easier to share because of the internet.
Yeah, that's what annoys me the most, though. That then people like this guy, like this priest, come out and openly say things about it. Because then that makes it look legitimate. It makes it look like there's actually something going on.
So you don't believe in demons?
No! Sorry, no, I don't. Do you believe in demons?
I don't know.
Do you believe in scary goblins?
I believe that there's people on this earth that are way more evil than they should be.
That's just humanity, though. They're not demons. They're not making, you know, toasters fly off the walls when you're,
well,
you know.
The difference now between demons and poltergeists.
What?
There's a difference between demons and poltergeists.
But a demon, right, is a ghost. Or
a demon isn't a ghost.
What is a demon? Is a demon a real life person?
No, a demon is just a really, really, really bad, evil energy.
So, like, can a human be a demon?
I don't know, Chris.
Like, am I a demon?
I haven't studied, you know, demonology in college or anything like that. But I truly believe that there are human beings out there that are just way too evil. And you're like, okay, you can argue that you weren't hugged enough as a child, but if it's in you, it's in you, you know?
And you think that maybe that's something like another force? Like, it's not just them?
Like, sometimes I think about you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where is all this negative energy coming from, you know?
Maybe it's not my fault. God, that's great. I can just blame it on something else.
Mm-hmm.
I love being able to do that with my problems. I'm a victim.
I think that like if a priest came in here and like threw holy water over you, you'd probably start dissolving, or like steam would start coming out of you or something, you know?
No, what would happen is they'd like arrive at the RTE place and like our producer Therese would be like, Father, thank God you're here. And like they'd walk down this long windy corridor and then like they'd get to the door here and then the priest would walk in and he'd just kind of go, like, and he'd feel something really unpleasant.
And he'd be like, get that. He'd be angelic. Like, oh God. He'd say, get that angelic girl out of there. Or he'd say, she's the only one balancing him.
Yeah.
It'd be like good versus evil.
The priest would come in here and he'd be really uncomfortable and he'd be really nervous. And he'd be like, oh my.
And he'd say, Kira, child, please go save yourself.
And then he'd have to actually leave the room and kind of like breathe heavily for a second. He'd be like, and then he'd come back in.
You'd be like, how are you?
Yeah. Be like, hello, priest. Then he'd be like, God, sorry, I'm in the wrong room. Apologies. And then he'd leave. And he'd realize that he was in the wrong place. And he would go and he would exorcise Tubridy. I believe Tubridy is a demon.
Do you?
Manifested in human form. That's right.
Do you?
Yeah.
Would you go on record and saying that?
Yes. I would go on record as saying that. Same with Joe Duffy. I firmly believe it. I'm not sure about Colm Hayes. I think so. I think he might be. Louise, I think there's touches of it, if I'm honest. So, don't be pointing your finger at me. There's other spirits around here. I'm not them. And neither is this Charlie Challenge.
You know what? I'm just going to be deadly honest. I don't think that people should mess with that sort of thing. Because we don't know what we're doing.
Now, I think we can say fairly safely that not much will happen.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
You never know. Maybe I'm wrong, but... Oh my God, Kira, be careful. A ghost has just come into the room. I can feel him. Ghost, get out. Oh shit, he's here. I don't know how long he's going to be here for. There's a goblin behind you as well, by the way.
Is there?
Yeah, and a spooky skeleton as well.
Why not a spooky skeleton or a goblin? Because they don't actually exist.
But demons do. Ah, here. Yeah, there we go. Michael Callan, Treasured Soul. Sorry, we seem to have scared quite a few people.
We have. Somebody says, I don't even believe in this demon shite, carry on, but I'm driving home from work on quite a dark road and I'm afraid to look into the back of the car. For Jesus' sake, don't do it. Don't look in the rearview mirror.
Oh
don't,
my God!
Don't, sorry. Seriously.
Oh my Jesus.
Somebody says, you pricks, I'm alone in the house and I'm scared shitless. Thanks a lot. And then somebody else says, it's not nonsense. Just because we have not seen things ourselves does not mean it doesn't exist.
Okay, fine, I'll concede that, but I'm still yet to see any proof of like goblins or demons or skeletons.
And
or
somebody has texted in a definition of a demon, Chris. Somebody says a demon is a human soul that's been tortured in hell for years. Oh Jesus, maybe I'm a demon.
Yeah, you probably are, by the definition of that.
Yeah.
You've kind of been in your own hell here with
past
me for a few
years. Yeah.
God, that's a long time in hell.
It is.
Well, all eternity is how long you spend in hell, so
it feels like eternity.
Well, you're only 7 years into eternity.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, on the way for you, music from Coldplay with Viva La Vida. Then we must find out what it is you're doing awake. In fact, might as well ask you right now, because, you know, I think you should start getting them in. 51552. It's as simple as that. 51552. I would love to know what it is you're doing awake at this hour. All right.
And just to finish this off, Chris, somebody says, I'm awake rising a demon from the dead. Its name is Stiffy. Did you get it, Chris? Did you get it, Chris? Because I think he's talking about like his penis.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Oh! I didn't get that. Thank you for explaining it. Mike says, well, guys, I'm awake doing my progressive muscular relaxation therapy. Great to do before asleep. Well, you know what, Mike? I don't know what that is, but I'm going to look it up now.
Sounds so good.
It does. Yeah, Mike, I'm going to check that out in a second. Someone says, I think you guys are wrong to be discussing ghouls and goblins and demons. Well, you never know. I mean,
well, think about the saying, though.
Yeah.
That person is always fighting with their demons.
Suppose.
Like it came from somewhere.
No, I know what you mean. Like, I think certain people who have... Actually, I know a guy who we both know who's kind of possessed in a way. You know who I'm talking about as well.
Oh, Chris, I hate when you say this because I think of a million people.
Hold on. He actually is possessed.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean?
I know.
He is. You think
not
I'm a
evil,
demon?
Though.
No, he's not. PB in Enfield says, Kira, you have the rightiest voice on radio.
Thank you.
You want to give PB anything? You want to be like, hello, PB?
No, because I always get nervous when somebody says that and I always kind of clam up and then say nothing, which defeats the purpose of somebody texting in the first, you know, place to tell me that I have a righty voice.
Sorry to disappoint you, PB.
Sorry, PB.
Someone says, I'm currently awake looking up jobs in F1 and regretting not doing engineering. I suppose you probably would need an old engineering degree for the old F1 jobs.
Oh, Ian the private jet guy has texted in to say, hi guys, long time no chat. I am up and on my way to work to look after a jet that's over the Atlantic at the minute. I'm all chuffed at a tweet we got from a famous golfer today, thanking one of my staff and the team for all their hard work. Miss being in touch, but busy travelling. Hope you're well and keep up the hard work.
Thanks, Ian the private jet
guy. Who was the famous golfer? Sorry. We won't, okay, I promise you, Ian, we won't say it out on air.
Yeah, just tell us.
Yeah.
Like, as in, you don't have, we won't read it out, but it would be cool to know.
Somebody says, lads, I'm on the way home from a third date with a beautiful woman and I think that she's the one.
I know. Well, after three dates.
Shut up, Chris. They always say you know when you know.
I guess so.
No, they do.
Yeah, no,
that's
you're right.
That's what they say, so it must be true.
I know a lot of divorced people who say that. You're dead right. A guy who I know is going through his third divorce tells me that all the time, so I listen to him. Trevin Longford's awake saying, I'm awake fighting off a food-induced coma. I used my new barbecue today with a selection of class food, including the T-bones I so eagerly wanted.
Nice.
Washed down with a few drinks, today's
nice.
A good day. You know, Trevin Longford, today was a real barbecue day, wasn't it? Today was a real barbecue day.
Mm.
Oh, you're dead right. Brilliant use of the day, absolutely. Anyway, also want to say hey to Bren from Kildare, who says, I think that guy Mark who calls your show is possessed. Yeah, I think
we
he might be
heard from him.
Yeah, actually.
Which is great. No. Let's not call him.
Mark.
It's like standing in front of a mirror and calling a demon. And then the next thing, Chris going, wait a second, we have someone on the phone. And then Mark, that really annoying caller, would be on air. So no, let's not even talk about him because we'll put the bad eye on the show. And the next thing, Mark will be on next week.
There's a really weird individual whose name is Mark who calls in. And people vary from hating him being on air to loving it. He's really polarizing.
When was the last time he was on air?
My birthday, wasn't it?
Was it February?
Yeah, because he said he was worried I was going to join the 27 Club.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a few months ago, yeah. Mm-hmm. Texter, I don't know where Mark is, but I'm putting it out there. Mark, you haven't emailed me in a while either.
No.
How is everything?
Don't put it out there.
Come, Mark, come to the show. I would love to hear from you. Maybe one day next week. Yeah, someone else takes it and say, I love that freak, Mark. Yeah, see, that's it. He is kind of an odd individual. Mark, if you were out there, friend, I would love to hear from you. I really would.
Somebody says, anyway. They're up oiling the John Deere, if you know what I mean. Plowing the field. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Took me a while to get with the laughs, but I got as quickly as I could.
I am wondering, are they oiling their tractor? To plow a field.
I'll plow your field.
No, Chris.
5-1.
Oh, here.
What?
I'm awake because I can't sleep. I'm thinking if I should dump the guy I've been seeing. He's so effed up emotionally, but I like him and I'm trying to fix him. I don't know what to do. I don't think that you can ever fix anyone. I think that they need to fix themselves.
Yeah, I know.
You
go ahead.
An awful lot of time and energy trying to change someone or fix them, as you put it. And like the only person that can do that is themselves. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You mean, you're dead right. You're not going to change somebody. Sorry, not to be blunt.
That shopkeeper said to me yesterday when I went in to buy tea bags, the only change you need is from within.
It did actually happen to Kira.
It did.
Poor Kira.
I'm awake because 5 soldiers from a camp in Donegal are running from Mizenhead to Malinhead. We started at 4:15 yesterday morning and we're going non-stop. So say hi to us. We're almost at Gort.
Wow.
Well, hi, guys. Well done.
Jesus. That's something else. Well done, lads.
Are you doing it for some sort of charity or why are you doing it? That's amazing.
Maybe that's just a new drill they have them doing.
Maybe it's just like, we need to do this to keep our jobs, Kira.
Maybe those guys like did something really wrong. So he was like, right!
Punishment!
You can run the whole way! You know, you never know.
Yeah.
But anyway, 51552, share something with us. I would love to know what it is you're doing awake. I mean, I really would.
Somebody is awake trying not to lie on the sunburned stripe across their back that they couldn't reach earlier today.
Oh, no.
Was it that sort of a day, yeah?
Yeah, I even felt myself getting burnt. I was out for like a second. You know, that's how bad my skin is.
Yeah.
And also how strong it was today, I think. You know? Someone says, play a bit of Rick Ross there, Chris, like a good man. I could play some Rick Ross, actually. So that's not a bad idea, because I was wondering what to play now, so You've done my job for me. Thank you, texter. Go ahead.
No, I just, this is hilarious. This is from Grace. I was in the shower while you were talking about demons. I nearly shat myself when I looked in the mirror after getting out. I'm awake because I won't get to sleep after that. Thanks a lot, guys. You're welcome, Grace.
Well, at least if you nearly shit yourself, as you say, you were in the shower at the time. It could have been worse.
Every cloud, Grace. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Want to give a big shout out to Owen, who's in Washington, D.C. Hello, Owen. Kira said good day to you on Twitter for some reason. I think you have the wrong continent there.
Oh, really?
There, pal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
You got it wrong, Kira. You feckin' idiot.
No.
I bet everyone's laughing at you now.
No,
anyway.
I feel so silly.
Someone says, I'm awake because I've been at the silage for the last 3 days or so, non-stop, damn the Irish weather.
I suppose it's a good thing. You're getting, you know.
Yeah.
You're getting it over and done with.
I guess. Yeah, exactly. 51552. Someone said, what?
I'm awake thinking about how Chris is a demon in the bed. I'm just guessing because I've never slept with Chris. Now I think of it, it's been a long time since I've slept with anyone. Oh God, I'm going to cry myself to sleep.
That's the kind of person who thinks I'm a demon in bed. That's an insight into the kind of person who thinks I'm sexy. So thank you. Thank you, Texter.
A week on the 2-hour cross-country drive home from work. I start at 3 p.m. Won't be home until 1:30. Love you guys. Great company.
Oh, thank you. It's very nice of you to say. I recognize that. I thought he said he was driving at 3 p.m. and won't be home till 1:30. I was like, that's some drive. Jesus.
Were you off to France?
Yeah. Let's see. What?
God damn it. I'm jealous. Emma has texted in to say, myself and my boyfriend Brian are en route to Dublin Airport from Limerick. We're off to Rome for the bank holiday weekend. I love him to bits and I want to thank him for all his support over the past few years. That's really sweet.
Oh.
They're going to Rome.
Oh, that, oh God.
This gives me a chance to talk about the time that I went to Rome.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Look, there's no time left. What we have to do is we have to finish the show with a review of the show from you and the National Anthem. So I could ask right now that you stand wherever you are in the world, if it's safe to do so, for the National Anthem, but also for the review of the show that Kira is about to give. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. We started the show playing the fake celebrity
Welcome.
News quiz with Miss Emma Power, and she won again. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
about the
screw
situation.
Her. This is getting ridiculous.
We had the Minister of Finance of a new micronation called Enclava on the phone to tell us about his new mini country as such.
Mm.
Blind Boy from the Rubber Bandits was on to talk about why Limerick should win the title of European Capital of Culture in 2020. Chris tells us the heartwarming story of a Muslim cleric who says men that masturbate will have pregnant hands in the afterlife. So make sure to wrap up those hands, boys.
Yeah.
We talk about this new social media trend, the Charlie Challenge, and discuss whether Chris has any demons of his own.
Well,
and then, of course, we finish the show like we always do, asking the wonderful Irish public out there what it is they're doing awake.
Wow. That sounds like an incredible show. Thank you.
I wish you'd been here first.
Yeah,
it was really actually good.
I had to step
People
out.
People are asking for you.
For myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye.
Chris and Kira. 2FM.